Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Thanks for joining me in this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Speaking with a client this last week, we were going back and forth about why spiritual, what advantages does it give me in my recovery if I adopt a spiritual perspective. And while this may sound like a very basic question and one that I've been grappling with myself for decades, like I've talked about, my personality is to enter into that question for the first time and to go, I don't know, let's flesh it out. Let's see how it goes. And in so doing, you come up with new stuff. And the premise that I came up with this week is this. Okay. The problem is that we've been programmed to believe what the spiritual should be instead of discovering for ourselves what the spiritual can be. I'm going to go through that one more time. So the problem is that we've been programmed to believe what the spiritual should be instead of discovering for ourselves what the spiritual can be. And from that one statement, from that one challenging premise, and I don't put it forth as a, well, this is my position and this is the way it is. I put it forth as a challenge to myself. And in the wonderful beauty and honor I have of working with clients, of discovering with the client, jamming along and coming up with something new and coming up with discovering. And I love this idea. So it's discovering instead of the programming that we were, maybe not even knowingly, maybe knowingly. I went to Catholic school, so it was overt, the programming. This is what it is. And whether or not you have that kind of outside-in messaging that is telling you, this is what the spiritual is, this is the way it goes down, and this is the way it is for you. I think that here in the Western culture, Western society, we've grown up, even nowadays, with maybe not as religiously, well, religion's making a comeback, right? Religious messaging saying how it is and how it should be, as the polls show that people, well, are just spiritual. But regardless, in our society, we have God infused into the culture, and the long-standing patriarchal idea of God as a he, and you know, to use that, he's got the long white beard thing, it's easy to reject. So this is where most of my clients find themselves, in this rejection of the programming of what they were supposed to believe. Maybe you feel this same way. It's probably the most common spiritual position I find with clients. And therefore, I would guess, bet, that that is a large section of society in mass, just the way it is, that there is this rejection of the way it used to be, this programming of what it should, what the spiritual should be. Okay, so from this rejection, you can go in a couple of different ways. You can just stay in rejection and stay rejected. And like many people today, and in the last podcast, we talked about spirit versus science. You can go into science. You can go into the logical. You can go into staying in that position of rejection. And it provides, the logical provides, science provides, facts provide a structured path of the mental being in control. And as that, the mental is one aspect of the whole person, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, as we talk about in the program. It's like, we can't just throw that out. It's like, you can't pretend that the mental isn't part of this equation, and there should be tools imposed, used, learned, and then applied. The same, I propose, should be said with the spiritual. So when people just reject and they go into something else, in this case I'm using the mental and the logic and science, they are losing certain benefits that you can only get from the spiritual. And this was the crux of the conversation I was having with this client. It's like, well, yeah, well, what is that? Who cares? What's the point? And the point is, you're not discovering what the spiritual can be anymore. You're not curious. You're not wondering. You're not applying, as we talked about last time, surrender. And in just a psychological ego sense, you're surrendering to something bigger. And what could that be? And then beyond all of that, the communication that can happen and the benefits that come back from establishing a spiritual practice and spiritual communication and direct revelation, as we say in shamanism. So in the rejection of the spiritual, of the programming that you're supposed to believe, people often, one large section is in the rejection of that, then they swing all the way the other way into science, logic, the mental for this part. Okay, so there's those people. And then there's the other people, which say, okay, I've rejected, and I'm still curious. Just because I've rejected the programming and the beliefs of how it should be, how I've been told, there's still this, as I like to talk about, this gnawing from the inside. There is this deep curiosity. What happens with those people? And those tend to be the people that I work with, in that they are curious. They want to know answers. And all right, let's go into that. How do I provide these answers? And it's like they've been provided to me by my teachers, which is, I don't provide them. In other words, we have to discover them for ourselves. As I like to say, this kind of medicine, you can only get for yourself. You can only earn it. You can only master it. You can only experience these benefits for yourself. And the point is that when that happens, nobody can do it for you and nobody can take it away. So that is the beauty and the curse of this kind of path, in that you must earn your experiences. You must earn your mastery. You must chop wood, carry water, do the next right thing step by step, as people talk about in recovery. And it doesn't have to be a spiritual path. From the outside looking in at somebody looking at me, if I didn't say the sober shaman, if I didn't say I practice spirituality, it very easily could look like and be explained by the other three aspects of the whole person: mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Well, if we just remove the spiritual, it could easily be explained and even communicated and transmitted as mental information, emotional feelings, and physical practices. But through the injection and inclusion of the spiritual, some things happen that I propose don't happen by using those other three. And if they do, it's not the same. Let me just put it that way. And so this first part, okay, we've rejected the beliefs and the programming of society, of youth. All right. And I've responded to this curiosity, this inner knowing, this gnawing inside of me that says, what if there's some spiritual? It sure does feel like there's some spiritual. It feels like there's something bigger. I'm responding to this knowing. Well, in this case, let's say it's curiosity. And the next phase would be a knowing. I like to say this is what resides in the bones, right? And when we commit to following this curiosity, to discover what the spiritual can be instead of what we're told it should be, we're following a path of inner knowing, and we're trusting that knowing. So it's still me and me. It's like I'm going internally for the answers instead of looking for external telling me what the spiritual should be. So this is that first step along the path. We're following the curiosity. We're trusting this inner knowing, and we're going with it. And we're going to be curious. Let's go discover. The second part that the spiritual will deliver would be in response to this curiosity and searching and discovering. And this would be connection. Now, I have another client that keeps relapsing and is waiting for what they describe in the meetings as they're waiting for the miracle to happen. They're waiting for the lightning bolt to hit. And they don't care whether it comes in the spiritual form or a knowing mental form or a scientific form. They're waiting for the damn lightning bolt. And that is a problem, because when we're waiting for anything to come from the outside in to determine our own choices, especially when it comes to, hey, don't drink again, step one, right? That's a dangerous and slippery slope. So in response to the choice of curiosity and then discovering and then following the inner knowing. Once the choice has 100% been made, I can't drink again, I can't use again, I can't scroll again, I can't log on to porn again, I cannot. No. 100%. Can't be done. Once that choice has been made, it does open up the possibility of connection. And we talk about this in ritual, making a safe place for the spirit then to come in. In this case, we are the containers for the spirit to come in. And this is what we do in the program with the journeys and with the shamanic rites exercises. And it can be done in all different kinds of ways, in all different kinds of practices, but this opening up to the spirit for connection. Connection. This is the second. So we have the knowing, curiosity, and we're going in search of internally. All right, fine, good. When we have this connection, this is what this client is looking for, is the lightning bolt. And as I spoke about in the last podcast of, well, you know, maybe the lightning bolt is already there inside you in your heart. And you just need to open the eyes of your heart and realize it's there and use it. Take responsibility for having it. You have the key to the kingdom in your heart already. It's there. This is one of the beauties of the spirit, in that when there is that kind of connection, I have it. We receive information and go into the third part of communication. So there's this knowing, there's connection, and then there's communication. And I'm going to kind of probably blend them as I talk about them now, because how we listen to receive the information is going to be maybe unique and maybe universal at the same time. In other words, there might be methods that you use that have been used for thousands of years. And at the same time, the information that you get from that method will be completely unique to your situation and your life and how you go about applying it. And it may not. It may sound very familiar. So this idea, let me back up to step two of connection. When people challenge me, well, how do I know I'm connected? I'm still waiting for the lightning bolt. Well, what do you mean? The thing that I spoke about was this, the web of life, as it is talked about, right? When we acknowledge our connection to the web of life, we are connected to everything. And this is not woo-woo, right? Science is coming around to it. The wonderful communication that happens below the ground in a forest, right? All of how the trees talk to the fungus, talk to the plants next to it. How communication happens, how listening happens. The knowing and the reception of information I talk about with in body work. I listen with my fingers, I see with my fingers. And then when I ask questions to the client lying on the table about what I've saw through my hands, and it gets validated or invalidated, I don't need to understand why. I don't need to, at the end of that session, go, well, obviously I don't have eyes in my fingertips, so how does this work? Personally, I don't care. If it works, seventh tenet of Hawaiian shamanism, right? Effectiveness is the measure of truth. Thank you, Stephen Wall, for providing me with that when I graduated 26 years ago, right? I had that hanging in my wall in my office, the seven tenets of Hawaiian shamanism. Number seven, effectiveness is the measure of truth. If it works, that's good enough for me. I'll do it again, see if it works the next time. And I'll keep doing it till I get better at it. And then maybe I can have a conversation with somebody who their specialty is to figure out why it works. And I'm okay with that. And I'm also okay with just having it work and getting better at making it work for me, with me. So connection, how do I see? How do I listen? Connection, the web of life, going back to that. How I pose it to some clients who are still waiting for the lightning bolt is that, look, I know that there were many times where I could have fallen through the cracks of this lifetime, as have a very large percentage of the people I came up with in those days of active addiction. And I didn't. And the web always caught me, no matter what happened. I'm forever thankful for that. And we're all caught. No matter, I think of it like a trapeze act. It's like the web is there. And usually when I propose this to a client and I can articulate it and I will bounce it off of them, it's like, well, then what happened? Oh, then I got busted. It's like, okay. So maybe spending the night in jail and the weekend in jail, because it was a Friday, right? Maybe, who knows? Is it good? Is it bad? Who knows? You didn't continue driving drunk, because we know what happened those other times you did that, right? We're caught by the web. We are contained by the web. We are a strand in the web. We are a node in the web that is connected to everything. And again, it doesn't have to be this woo-woo kind of, what are you talking about? I mean, we can go into, and I do go into, the connection with food, the connection with your clothing, the connection with your family tree, and how important these connections are when we go into them with this curiosity of, hey, let's discover what the spiritual can be. Because when we look at our family tree as a discovery of spirituality, when we examine where our food came from as a discovering process of spirituality, who made the connections to the web become clear. No man is an island. We do not exist in isolation. So how do you acknowledge your connections? And I propose that by using the spiritual and by discovering what the spiritual can be, this opens up possibilities that you're not going to get in other ways by using just mental, just emotional, and just physical. Okay, And then we talked about a little bit, but then that third one, communication. And by communication, I mean receiving direct information, knowledge, and power from spirit. So once one, two, and three, we have this knowing, we're curious, we're going discovering. Number two, we make the connections. Number three, we receive the information, knowledge, and power. And then number four, we apply them back here in ordinary reality. There is a beauty and a power by using the spirit, again, that we don't get in other ways. As I'm speaking to you now, as I spoke to this client, and I've had this conversation many times with clients, what's the point? What do we get out of this that I wouldn't get in another way? Well, by being connected to something bigger than myself, which I am acknowledging and discovered and have responded to my own inner curiosity and knowing that there is something bigger, to discover what that is so that I can understand it in my little pea brain. It's about the relationship and being in right relationship with spirit. And the communication is not, it's so easy to make fun of these things. Oh, are you hearing voices? Well, this is one of the beauties, again, of the spiritual. It's programmed to believe what the spiritual should be versus discovering what the spiritual can be. And one of the things is that the spiritual, one of the things that I talk about at the Sober Shaman repeatedly is the spiritual needs to be practical. Otherwise, it just lives in Spiritville. And what's the point of that? It needs to be practical. We need to be able to take this information, knowledge, and power and put it to good use in our recovery, in our lives, in all of our relationships. So, receiving information, knowledge, and power, I propose, is better to happen in a spiritual structure, in a spiritual format. In other words, just because we are operating in the spiritual aspect of the whole person, of the mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, doesn't mean we throw out logic and the other three components. We're just focusing and making use of the spiritual and garnering the benefits of the spiritual, and at the same time bringing in our logical mind, and at the same time setting up, whether we call it ritual, structure, I'm going to call it ritual, a time, a place, a container in which we make space to receive the knowledge, information, and power from our communication with spirit. One of my main teachers, Michael Harner, had a wonderful story that he would convey while he was down in the Amazon and staying with, I think it's the Hivaro people down there. And while he was down there, he would go on these spiritual journeys, and he was learning about communication and talking with spirits and how that worked with power. And when he was told, you become a good and powerful shaman by doing these acts through their power, through this communication, and by maintaining this powerful connection with the spirits, being able to hear it and then applying it. That's how you get power. Oh, okay, wonderful. How do we do that? It's like, and then he was shown how. And one day, on an average day, people in the tribe were doing their chores, chopping wood, carrying water, because, you know, here in ordinary reality, we have ordinary reality things to worry about. And what happened was, is there was this person who just ran through the camp and just screaming and yelling, came in one side. Everybody kind of stopped for a minute, watched them, and then ran out the other side, screaming and yelling. It's just like, so Michael Harner went up to his teacher and was like, well, what's up with that guy? And they said, oh, he's in communication with spirits. And so Michael was like, oh, he must be very powerful if he is in communication with spirits, like all the time like that. And they said, no, he's crazy. This is what we would say too. In other words, that person who ran through the camp does not have a clear practice structure for communication. They're always in communication with spirits. No, they're crazy. We need to chop wood and carry water. We need to be able to do our ordinary reality things. If we need to drive, we need to take care of our kids, we need to take care of our parents, we need to we go to our job, we need to take care of things. And so the idea of the spirit and how you communicate with spirit and this programming of what we've been told to believe of what the spiritual should be, right? As opposed to discovering what the spiritual can be. It's not being in communication 24/7. It's having a practice. It's being good at what we do. There's that saying that I learned a long time ago. How you do one thing is how you do everything. So when you have a practice, and you impose discipline and you impose structure. And I think of my son and how he, through his rough years of late adolescence, still went to the gym every single day and applied that discipline. It carried him through and is still carrying him through. We can apply a structure in certain parts of our lives, and if we so desire, we can use that muscle that is applied the discipline, has imposed the structure, has made use of the structure. We can apply that to the spiritual. The same principles apply. So let me recap here for a minute. Randy, what's the point? The premise is that we've been programmed to believe what the spiritual should be instead of discovering for ourselves what the spiritual can be. And I'm not here to tell you what the spiritual should be for you, even if you do exactly the things that I tell you to do. I have no idea what your relationship with the spiritual will look like. I have no idea what your communication will look like. I have no idea what information, knowledge, and power you will receive. And I have no idea how you should apply that back here in ordinary reality. And at the same time, I've seen this once or twice, been doing it a little while. I can offer you my 2 cents. And through your practice and your communications and your experiences, keep discovering. And we can build those structures that work for you, that fit into your belief system, that honor and respect the traditions you come from. That's another thing. It's like, Randy, you know, I'll speak for myself. I came up through the Catholic schooling. And while I talk about this in the Losing My Religion podcast episode I did, and while I kind of, okay, I'm not going to say kind of, I'm not watering it down. My experience was, from a soul perspective, when I was introduced to Jesus underneath that Christmas manger as a little kid, even before I went to Catholic school, I was like, oh, I know this guy. I know this. I know this in my heart. And I still remember that moment of being 4 or 5, going, yeah, this is all very familiar. And so my experience then of going to Catholic school, I was like, wow, these dudes dressed in black or these women dressed in white are really missing the point. But you know what? They're people. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They're trying the best that they can do. But I know already what this is in my heart. So I was able to reject right from an early age what was definitely not going to be taken from me for the rest of my life. And yeah, I could leave plenty on the table from Catholicism. And I could take what worked for me and fit it into my life as I grew and moved forward. And now, in the rituals as I practice them, call them shamanic in their nature, I have no problems whatsoever, and for decades have had no problems whatsoever, incorporating what works from the Catholic religious point of view. And many of them are beautiful and powerful and effective. So that to be said, I've worked for people with all of the major religions, and how the shamanic and how we incorporate the shamanic in your discovery, in your investigation, responding to your curiosity and your inner knowing, what that can then turn into something new, learning how to listen to those answers that come back, putting it all together, and then putting it into practice back here in ordinary reality in your life for recovery, immediate application for recovery, and then for long-term stability, happiness, the pursuit of spiritual happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, meaning, purpose, passion, all of those things for yourself, for your family, for your job. All of it works together. It's all part of the web. It always catches us. Lucky for me, it's always caught me. Whether I let go of that trapeze, right, or it slipped out of my hands, there is a compassionate nature to this universe that has always caught me. And when I speak to my clientele, I can safely say every time they've been able to find those experiences, those moments when they've been caught also. And that will do it for this episode of The Sober Shaman. As always, send me any questions, comments, concerns you have about this episode, or anything in general, I'm happy to point you in a direction. If I don't have the answer, I'm happy and honored to help you on the next steps of your path of recovery, of spirituality, whatever we can do to help. So until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.